can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't deserve it. God can only give away grace.
And Dr. Tony Evans says that when we understand that, we see everything differently, including our difficulties.
Circumstances may not change, but focus can change.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. How do you respond when someone who owes you nothing gives you everything? We'll find out today as Dr. Evans takes us to Ephesians chapter 3 for a look at what happens inside us when we learn how to live under the incredible grace of God. Let's join him.
You have been endowed with spiritual wealth in Christ, but wealth that is unknown, misunderstood, or not accessed can keep you living in spiritual poverty. I want you to decide to live underneath this and live by means of this grace. Remember, grace is succinctly defined as God's unmerited favor. Remember, grace is always free. Can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. You can't deserve it. God can only give away grace. One of the reasons why we do not experience the grace that God gives away is we try to earn the unearnable. You can appreciate grace. You can show gratitude for grace, but you can't earn it. It is the nature of the word. That's why in our series we have spent so much time distinguishing grace and law. Law is the rules you try to keep to make God happy. Grace refers to the rules you keep because God has made you happy. It is a different approach to life. So what we must learn to do is practice Christ's presence in our lives. Because we're accepted in the beloved. How much should your life and my life be consumed with the person and the presence of Christ? Verse 10 says, with a view to an administration. That's our word, a koinonia. The household, the way God is running things. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, watch this, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on the earth. Here is God's philosophy of history, that all things are to be summed up, added up, totaled up in Christ. So watch this. Every area of your life is to get plugged into your relationship to Jesus Christ. There is not to be one dimension, since God is summing up all things in history, which includes everything about you, is now to get plugged into Jesus Christ. He is your point of reference for everything, because he is God's point of reference for everything. And watch this now, to the degree that you now connect everything in your life to Christ is to the degree that you will experience everything God wants you to have from Christ. What you will find is things you're trying to get victory over will become like ice on a hot summer Texas day. It will melt. Not because you made victory, but because the sun got so hot and Christ got so real, he melts the things that need to be melted in our lives that are outside of the will of God. See, we're trying to change things that Christ wants to change. But because we have a visitor relationship and not a household living relationship. What grace does to the praise of the glory of his grace is that it trumps sin. It overrules legitimate circumstances. Matthew chapter 14, verses 28-32, Peter is walking on water. Peter's walking on water. When you're walking on water, he's walking on water in a storm. So circumstances aren't good. It's thundering, lightning, the waves are billowing, but he's walking on top of bad situations. Anybody got a storm? You either have one, you have one, or we'll be in one, because storms just happen. But he's walking on top of a problem. But the text says in Matthew 14 that he began to look at his circumstances. Now, wait, man. Those were the same circumstances he was walking on. So there was no change in the circumstance. There was a change in his focus. He started looking at the winds and the waves, and it says, and he began to sink. Why didn't he sink before? Why was he walking on the problem and not being sucked in by the problem? It was where he was looking. It says it was in the midst of him sinking, going under, that he refocused on Jesus. And the Bible says when he refocused on Jesus, Jesus reached down and pulled him back up. Circumstances may not change. It was still storming. But focus can change. Jesus must become, for to experience his full measure of grace, your all-encompassing focus. As the song used to say, Jesus in the morning, Jesus at noontime, Jesus when the sun goes down. That's why Paul can say, pray without ceasing. It means bringing Jesus into anything. Sometimes you do it with your mind. Sometimes you do it with verbal prayer. Sometimes you do it with consecrated time. But it's just keeping on bringing Jesus into everything. And then you're sucking from grace. What does Hebrews 12:2 says? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. When circumstance pushes you down like a ball in water, grace will pop you back up. This grace of summing up all things in Christ, we talk about get your praise on, you know. And a lot of that's fake because somebody up front told you to do it. The only reason you're doing it because somebody up front, the preacher, the song leader, told you to get to wave your hand in the air like you just don't care. They didn't kind of revved you up. But once you begin to see grace work, you won't need a preacher or a song leader, because you will be responding to grace, not trying to find it. See, because it's one thing to praise God when nothing's wrong, but it's a whole different praise when things are still wrong and you're walking on top of the wrong, and the wrong's not walking on top of you. When you're getting victory in spite of storms. He says this grace is to be experienced not only in isolation and individuality, but in community. He says, to be specific, in chapter 3, verse 6, the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, fellow partakers of the promise of Christ Jesus and the gospel. It says in verse 10 of chapter 3, so that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in heavenly places. You know what he's saying? He's saying the church is to be an environment of grace. It's an environment of grace. The Jews and Gentiles couldn't get along. They ain't like each other. They were different history, different backgrounds. But he says the mystery that was unthought of in the Old Testament under the old contract is that these folk who could never get along would be coming together in one family because of the grace of God. The reason why we have racial divisions is because people don't understand grace. You are what you are by the grace of God, which doesn't make you any better than anybody sitting next to you, regardless of their history, background, or race, or economic status. He says, no, the church is to be the facilitator of grace, to reflect it. And it says, when it does, it says, it manifests God to the authorities and rulers in heavenly places. In other words, you take charge of the spiritual realm. You set the agenda because you represent me. So you're to experience grace. Your family's to be experiencing grace. The church is to be manifesting this grace, this unmerited favor.
Dr. Evans will come back in a moment with a look at the connection between grace and truth. So stay with us as he brings us the final lesson in his brand new series, The Magnificent Grace of God. That makes today your last chance to take advantage of our special offer on the trio of resources we put together to help you build on what we've been learning. It starts with Tony's short book, The Grace of God. Seeking victory always begins by seeking God, and this book walks you through specific ways to bring the power of the Lord's grace to bear on the battles you face every day. Along with it, you get two special bonuses, all 12 full-length CDs in our current series, The Magnificent Grace of God, and a DVD full of related Bible study resources straight from Tony. If you contact us before the day's out, we'll send you all three of these great resources as our gift in appreciation for any donation God leads you to make toward the ministry of the alternative, large or small. Again, TonyEvans.org is the place to go to get details and make arrangements. Or call 1-800-800-3222 and let one of our resource team members help you. Again, that's 1-800-800-3222. Dr. Evans will come back with more of our lesson after this.
What if Jesus had spent the night before his crucifixion in the park down the street from your house? Or changed water into wine at a wedding in your neighbor's backyard? These stories wouldn't just be stories anymore. They'd be memories because you were there. Tony Evans wants you to have that kind of experience every time you read Scripture. That's why he's hosting a 9-day tour of Israel in November of 2018. You'll visit the site of the Sermon on the Mount, tour the Old City, including the Temple Mount, the Western Wall, the Garden of Gethsemane, and the upper room where Jesus washed his disciples' feet. You'll overlook Nazareth, stand on the Mount of Olives, and walk the road where Jesus made his triumphal entry. You'll gather as a group for great music and worship, and Tony will have messages that will give you new insight into familiar Bible stories. There's a lot more on the itinerary. Check it out at TonyEvans.org and make your reservation before spaces run out. Don't miss this chance to add a whole new dimension to your faith. Visit TonyEvans.org today.
Now, don't get me wrong. Grace is tied to truth. You can't get the favor of God and not be dealing with truth. But when you have the truth of God and you operate it in the spirit of grace, grace begins to flow and you see God's favor being manifested. You see it manifested emotionally by a peace that passes understanding. You see it manifested provisionally by God meeting needs in ways that you didn't expect. You see it being manifested relationally in your ability to forgive. You see it being manifested personally. No matter what your parents or your friends said to denounce you, you now have a different self-image of yourself. Because see, if somebody greater accepts you and somebody lesser doesn't, that lesser person can take a hike because the greater person has accepted you. This grace begins to manifest itself. And one of the ways it should highlight its manifestation, watch this now, is in your mouth. Look at chapter 4. Verse 25 says, therefore, laying aside all falsehood, speak truth with one another to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals, let him steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who has need. Now watch this. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only that word which is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give, here it is, grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. In other words, give the grace you want to have received for you. Why is this so important? He says, because without it, you grieve the Holy Spirit and you give an opportunity to the devil. The grieve means to make sad. The Holy Spirit's a very sensitive member of the Trinity. He's like a dove. He will fly away quickly. And the thing that drives the Holy Spirit away is our mouths. When we speak that, because he's overseeing the recording of the scripture. In fact, Psalm 109, verses 17 to 18 says, when you curse when you ought to bless, you bring the curse back on you. So the very thing you just told that other person, because you wanted to tell them off and give them a piece of your unholy mind. He says, what you just did was boomerang that curse back onto you. The Bible is letting us know that we need spiritual mouthwash. One day a little girl used the word, talking to her father, she used the word darn. He didn't like that. He said, darn. That language is going in the wrong direction. I'll give you 10 cents if you never use the word darn again. She said, well, I got some words worth a dollar. It's been said that the tongue is so dangerous that God has put it in a cage called the mouth, surrounded by bars, teeth. One of the Bible's complaints is that when we complain when we ought to bless, when we refuse to give thanks when God has done so much, because everything we want has not occurred. Like the monk who was in the monastery, and every year he only said two words. Every year he would only say two words. The first year he said, bed hard. Second year he said, food bad. Third year he said, I quit. Supervisor said, well, you should quit because you've been complaining ever since you've been here. Grace, when understood, will be verbalized. There'll be a lot more thanksgiving. Amen. Because you'll be experiencing more grace, so you'll be giving thanks for more. In fact, you'll be giving thanks for grace you haven't gotten yet. Because now you'll be operating assuming you have it. Amen. So if you're not having victory in an area that is outside of the will of God, this area of your life is outside of the will of God. You know what God wants this area adjusted. You have already been blessed with the victory. Grace has already pre-qualified you for that area because it's outside the will of God. And God wants you to be operating under his rules, within his koinonia, within his household of grace. And because of that knowledge, that victory has already been given to me for this area outside the will of God, I am thanking God for victory, not just asking him for it. Amen. Because I've already been giving it. He's already told me I'm more than a conqueror in him who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm operating. It is a different way of operating in the house. And as a church, with one another, with our guests, visitors, with our impact in community, our presence, people ought to see this as a place of grace. Amen. A place of grace. Now, I know we are human, and I know that every moment is not that operating with that sense of grace. But if you grow in grace, see, that's the thing. If you grow in grace, and all you have to do to grow in grace is to start practicing his presence in everything. Don't take my word for it. Practice his presence, because guess what? It's free. Amen. Freely by his grace. And so you practice the presence of the beloved and begin to experience his presence at work in your life. Then you will see what it is like to have the grace of God. People, chapter 4, verse 7, he says, But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. See, you don't mind serving because you see how much God is serving you. Because grace is just flowing to you and then flowing through you and flowing by you. You've had victory, so you want to help somebody else get victory where you had it. And it becomes an atmospheric override. And you begin to see stuff melting in people's lives and people's relationships and all, not because you got a rule book, but because you got a relationship. Because God runs his oikonomia, his household, his kingdom rule in this stage of history by grace. Now, God is going to shift the stage. So we're in the grace stage. When Jesus returns, it's another stage. Because the Bible says when Jesus Christ returns to Jerusalem, which is real interesting about what's happening in Jerusalem, when Jesus Christ turns and he sets up his kingdom and his capital for the whole earth from Jerusalem, the Bible says, and he will rule with an iron rod. So when the grace stage ends and the physical kingdom is established worldwide by the return of Jesus Christ, it's going to be a different operation. So you're in a good stage now. It's a great stage. So I love where he concludes when he said in verse 6 and 7 of chapter 1, the reason why he's giving you grace freely is to the praise of the glory of his grace. He doesn't want you to worship him because it's Sunday only. He wants you to worship him because you've been graced out. You've just been graced out. He doesn't want you to give because you're being manipulated to go into your pocketbook a while. He just wants you graced out with goodness so you want to do it. He doesn't want you to serve just because you're supposed to and you signed an agreement. He just wants you so graced up that it is the overflow of his goodness to you. To the praise of the glory of his grace.
Dr. Evans will give us an example of that overflow that might sound familiar when he comes back in a moment to wrap up this final message in his brand new teaching series, The Magnificent Grace of God, a comprehensive look at the free gift that changes us from the inside out and rewrites our spiritual future. This set of 12 full-length messages contains material we haven't had time to bring you on the air, and it's our gift to you in appreciation for a contribution of any size to help us keep Tony's teaching on this station. As I mentioned earlier, it comes bundled with Tony's short book, The Grace of God, and his resource DVD full of bonus teaching material. This special triple offer ends today, and we don't want you to miss out. So get the details and make the arrangements before the day's out at tonyevans.org or call us at 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are available around the clock to help you. 1-800-800-3222. As we try to find our way through life, sometimes it feels like we're doing it in the dark. But Dr. Evans says when that happens, we just might stumble over hidden treasure God wants us to find. On Monday, he'll start a brand new series on how to look out for treasures in the dark. Right now, though, he's back with this final story for us.
I used to love to see in a football game when a player made a big tackle, particularly a defensive lineman, he'd get up and he'd just do this. Give it up. What I was just allowed to do, what I just achieved, give it up. You know what he's doing? He's inviting everybody else to join him in his praise. He said, he can't talk so everybody can hear. So he just shifts up his hand and they say, if anybody know what I'm talking about, give it up. So I just want to know if there's anybody in the house who know what I'm talking about and is willing to give it up to the praise of the glory of his grace. You're praising him for his goodness. You're praising him for his victory. You're praising him for his deliverance that you haven't even seen yet. So if you believe in grace, you ought to just give it up because he's worthy to be praised.
The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.